do our interviews, and then we place them in the archives, and then we pull off key statements that you made and possibly for use for other things, including on the radio.
Oh, is that right?
Oh yes, you'd be surprised at what we're working on. But of course, as you were in business, it's interesting for me, Ralph, because you did some traveling then, evidently, when you got into your own business and your own business.
Well, when we moved up, we decided to get rid of the grocery store because we went broke. We didn't know anything about groceries. We had no experience whatsoever, you know, and there's tough times, and there was stamps, blue and orange stamps, that you had to have when you sold meat and stuff like that. Well, we just couldn't hack it. So we decided we were going to have an auction sale and sell out, and then a lot of people would charge, and there's still people today that owe us from that. And that was back in 1939. And so we decided I'd go up and find myself a job in Bismarck. And we got up here, we found a little apartment. We had two children at that time, Tilly and Betty, and it was on Broadway over there. And we rented their apartment for, I think it was $15. And so I went out the next day and looked for a job, and I got one with Piggy Wiggly in Mandan.
Piggly Wiggly,
yeah. At that time, yeah. And I worked in the meat department. Well, then, you know, we moved back to Mandan because it was too, we didn't think we should drive back and forth. We couldn't afford it either. And so we moved there and rented an apartment. And then I had applications in different places, you know. I had one in the National Tea Store opened up. Mm-hmm. And here, you know, they called me and they gave me more money, and they gave me the produce, be manager over the produce. Well, what did I know of produce? Not very much, but they said they'll teach me, and which they did. Then I took that job and moved back to Bismarck again. And so then, as the grocery warehouse people called on us, you know, I could buy grocery in the morning and come around, and I always wanted to be a salesman all my life, you know, I had that in my mind. So I tried to get in with the warehouse to become a salesman, see. Well, one day he says, "Say, you wouldn't want to drive a truck, would you?" I said, "Yeah." And, you know, he said, "We'll give you 45 cents an hour." So, by golly, I went to work for Nash Finch, you know. And then I got 45 cents, and I drove a big semi-truck. And that was hard work. Oh, my golly, we had those big 16-gallon beer barrels, and those big 55-gallon Wernicke, and all that stuff, you know. And I had it, when it came to a town and backed up, and well, like Strasbourg there, that John Turnus had a grocery store, you know, and the beer for John, other Turnus, there was two Johns there. Mm-hmm. And I had to get some tires, you know, to throw those 55-gallon barrels down on the beer barrels too, those 16 cakes. That was hard work, and I was out, left at 8 o'clock in the morning, come in sometimes at 2 at night, in the morning at 8 out again. The night crew would load me up and go out. Oh, I tell you, that was hard work. And now they got all everything hydraulic. Push a button and they get it.
So when you'd go out to those towns, where did you travel to?
I traveled down into as far as Sealand, Ashley, you know. And on this side of the river, I traveled down to Carson, Mott, Dickinson.
So this was in the 1940s?
That was in the 1940s, yeah.
So you must remember all those towns then in the 40s, all those German-Russian towns.
Yeah. Then I had a neighbor over, we lived on 13th Street, 320. My father-in-law says, "I don't understand why you kids want to rent. Why don't you buy a house?" And I said, "Well, we haven't got no money." Well, the doors at those days, you could walk over and see nice homes that were open. You could walk on Sundays, the wife and we walked around and looked at houses. Doors weren't locked, were unlocked. We could walk in and look at them, but they were always up in the $3,000-$5,000. Nice big homes, you know,
that
are selling today for $80,000. Then, you know, well, we run into one that was $2,100. Then I told my father-in-law, and he said, "Well, I'll give you the money, you know." And he did. give me the money, and he says, I tell you, he says, I'll charge you 5% interest, he said. Well, I got a job with, you know, with Nash Finch, and I was making a little money, you know, not much to talk about, 45 cents an hour you don't make, but that was still great money, you know. So, by golly, I could pay that house. I was off in 2 years, I give him the money back, I mean. And he said, well, you've been a good boy. You know how them old Germans was. Uh-huh. You've been a good boy. He said, I won't charge you no interest. So that's what he did, see. Uh-huh. Then, you know, one night we were invited for the United Commercial Travelers. If you see all the plots around here.
Uh-huh. I'm interested in knowing, Ralph, is when you would go out and visit those towns, you know, where those German-Russian people were. Did they, was there only German spoken?
No, no.
By then, and they were already in the
40s? Yeah, there were some of them that spoke English, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what I was going to tell you, then, you know, we were invited to a banquet up at the capital of the Sky Room one evening. And this was the United Commercial Travelers, UCT in short. And there was a guy sitting beside me, got acquainted. In fact, he was my neighbor right up the street a little bit on 13th Street. His name was Chris Siegler. He was born and raised in Sealand, North Dakota.
Siegler.
Siegler? Yeah, that's who it was. And then he said, ask me what I was doing. And I told him I was working for Nash Finch. And he said, how would you like to become a salesman? I says, well, I've been always looking for a salesman, you know. And then he says, well, he said, we are going to open a store in Bismarck, he said. And Mr. Suslin was his name, is my boss from Minot, and he's coming down Sunday, and I'm supposed to find him a salesman to have Bismarck and the southwest, southeast corner, see? Well, he said, if you're interested in it, why, I'll give you a ring Sunday when he comes. I said, well, what did they pay and how did they work it? Well, they furnish you a car, he said. They pay the all expenses, and you get so much a month, about $300 and a quarter, they start you plus commission. Well, that sounded darn good. So sure enough, you know, he called me on a Sunday, and I went down there, hired me. That's where I stayed until I retired. Well, then I became a owner of it. Built my own store in 1957, see, and I still had stock in Western Auto Parts, which he owned, but he set me up. He set me up in the United Commercial and the United Auto Parts. Mr. Suslin did, see. And then he died on his birthday. He was 72 years old. That's about 24 years ago. And then, of course, we bought all the stores, you know, me and 10 other guys. So we are still owned, not the business we sold out. I sold out my stock in 1981. So that's where I became.
So you think
we're pretty good. We had pretty good business.
Yes,
kind of lucky and worked hard at it day and night, you might say, when we started.
But I think, again, that all goes back to maybe on the farm, you know, that hard work on the
right.
Farm.
We was used to it and we knew that we had to work. Make a living.
And you want to be educated at the same time.
That's right. We did.
And that's important too.
That was very important. And then after I sold out, well, then you see I became a member of the United Commercial Travel just through this man, Chris Siegler, you know. And then I run for the Supreme Office. You know, at first I went through the local office and run for the Supreme Office, and I made her. Later, you know, and then I traveled for them now 12 years.
Oh.
Yeah. United States and Canada, I go out and speak on banquets.
Yeah. How long have you been doing that now, Ralph?
12 years.
Really? So how far do you travel then?
Well, see, my term expired as a board governor office. I was on the Supreme Board. And I worked with all these guys. There's doctors and there are bankers, and this is the principal of a school, and this is Dr. Espeki out of area, And all these guys are different, you know, they're from different states because we travel the United States and Canada. And so I would go out and speak on banquets and stuff like that, you know. This year, well, I went, my first trip was into Columbus, Ohio. Then I came home, and I was in charge of the convention here in Bismarck. And then I left for Birmingham, Alabama. And then I came home, and then I went to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Then I came home and I went to Kalamazoo, Michigan. And then I came home and I went to Gooding, Idaho.
Oh my, wonderful.
But that, there was nothing I'm giving up. I said, well, if you don't want to go out, you know, your term has expired, but if you like to go out, a lot of people would like to have you come, you know, to speak at their banquets, you know. And I said, okay, if the wife can go along, they pay all the expenses, so there I am.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, you have an important message to tell about hard work, I'm sure, and work ethic.
Well, yes, and also about the order. They give you, they write everything down, and then you, it's very easy. They get your everything.
Let's close our conversation, Ralph, and just reflect a little bit about any other memories that you have about those early years?
Well, the memories I have, it was hard, and I can't, for the life of my thinking, I just don't understand how the folks and those people made it those years, how they could live the way they lived. They worked hard, you know, even washing by hand, you know, the mothers, and how they done it, and how they could do it, and look at today what we have. And then sometimes when the kids grew up, you know, you had a back and forth that wash machine, and it wasn't easy. I tell you, you wonder many times, you think of your parents, you know. Well, I think of mine every day, you know. And then, you know, when you had my dad couldn't write or read, you know, that was still tough on us. But I got it was easy for me when I started school once and got the hang of it. I mean, I caught on very easy.
Do you have a chance to speak German today?
Today? Yeah, sure, I can.
There's some conversation of German going on here in Mandan and Bismarck? When you get together, do you speak German?
Oh yeah, once in a while we speak German, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
Can your children understand German?
Just the oldest one. You know, the oldest one, and then Betty, you know. Well, she understands, but they can't talk it, but Tilly can talk a little bit, not too much, but they, yeah.
One thing I'm going to ask you also, Ralph, is if, and we'll visit about this later, but do you have photographs of your grandparents or your parents?
Well, no, I don't. No, I don't have anything at all, you know, that is, if you're talking about, no, I don't have nothing that I know of. I had, thought I had the one in here, the last one, you know, when they were born. But I got lots of it from the Copes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see if you read something like this.
Yes, I see that. See? We'll have to eventually get copies of some of those things.
And that's, but I just wonder what that one I done with that I got just the other day that they found up over here in Russia. Mm-hmm. Germans from Russia. And I'm supposed to send a copy to Dickinson, to my aunt. I have an aunt over there that's in the nursing home. She's 92 years old.
Hmm.
Mrs. Dressler, that's the only one that's left.
How's her memory?
Very, very good. She got a pacemaker, and
what is her name?
Her name is Lena Dressler, but she was the wife of my father's brother Philip, his wife. And the Dresslers are all dead. My father's side.
Yeah.
And they all had diabetes mostly.
The family had diabetes?
Yeah. See, this one is blind for 18 years. This one lost both of their legs. And then, of course, she had diabetes. She died in her sleep. She was to this, the day before she was to this aunt's funeral, and I had, sitting right beside her, had lunch with her. The next morning I got a call at 7:30 and said she died through the night. This guy died of a heart attack in his sleep, and this guy died in his sleep, and this guy slept. And my grandmother died in sleep, so I'm a good candidate. I might just sleep and you guys won't know it.
Right, so that's why we have to get this on tape beforehand, right?
We gotta get some of this coming back. You haven't got it on, have you?
Oh, yes, I have it on.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yes. Anything else you'd like to say, Rob, and then we'll visit after we've had our interview.
Well, that's about all I can say. I mean, as far as I know, I mean, I have lots of family trees here, the copes and stuff like that, to know they were married and all this.
We'll have to take a look at that and visit with you further about our German-Russian heritage. It's November 8th, 1993, and I'm in the home of the Dillmans in Bismarck.
It's not Dillmans.
Excuse me.
That's Dressler.
Dressler. D-R-E-S-S-L-E-R. Right.
Yeah.
Dressler. We're in the Dressler home in Bismarck, and we're going to close our conversation. Thanks so much, Ralph, for the visit today.
It was a pleasure talking to you.